Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, hey, somebody say, today is a great day. It is a great day to be saved. It's a great day to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a great day to just be in church. Amen. You know, today we're going to be talking about the fight of faith. It's about the fight of faith. You know, 1 Timothy, it says, I'm just jumping right in. So let's just go. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. You see, if you're going to live a successful Christian life, you're just going to have to learn how to fight. You're just going to have to learn how to fight. You're going to have to learn to put up your dukes, and you and just have to throw some swings out there. You're just going to have to do it. Because this is the thing. When the Bible tells you to do something, it means that you're going to need to do it. You know, sometimes we think, it's like, you know, the Bible, you think sometimes we feel like the Bible is full of suggestions. No, if Jesus and if God saw it fit to put something in the Bible, that means what? One day he saw you here in 2017, and said, you're going to need this. So he said, fight the good fight of faith. So this is what you need to know. This is not really deep. There are going to be some fights. There's going to be some storms. There's going to be some things that happen, but he tells you to fight the good fight of faith. You know, but the thing is about that, the word is the weapon that you're supposed to use. The word is this weapon that you're supposed to use. So you need to learn how to fight using the word. That's what we need to do. So, but look at this in John 16, verse 33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may not, that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Somebody said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Yes, there's some things that's going to happen in your life, but Jesus told you, don't worry about it. I got you. He says, I got you. I did all the work already, because trials and sorrows simply come because we live in a fallen world. It happens. It happens. From the time that happened in Adam and Eve, it just went down. But God sent his son Jesus to redeem every one of us. He made that available. And sometimes we get into trials, and sometimes we get into trials of our own stupidity. It happens. We make, and not only that, sometimes we just make a simple mistake and we get into trials. You know, there's sometimes you just do something that you know you don't need to do it, but you do it anyway. That happens. And then sometimes you just didn't know any better, but still things happen as a result. But sometimes you just live in this world and trials are going to come. When you understand that trials on this earth is just simply part of life, it will make it easier for you to overcome. When you understand that this is just part of it, you know, when Derek started walking, there were times that he fell, but that's part of the process. Trials are part of the process on this earth. But look at what Jesus said. Take heart, I have overcome the world. He knew that trials were part of the process, but he's saying, I got you. Somebody said, Jesus got me.
Jesus got me.
And see, sometimes we spend too much time wondering, why am I in a trial? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? You know what? When that snake bit Paul, he didn't stand there and say, why is this snake biting me? What's going on? Lord, did you send this to me? He said, look, I know a snake don't belong on my hand, and he just shook it off and it went into the fire. Sometimes we spend so much time wondering why this happened and why that happened. Trials simply happen because we live in the fallen world, but Jesus has made you an overcomer. And that's what we need to simply remember. The word is the weapon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when you know a sword is when you go into offense. That's when you go to kill someone. That's when you go to kill some things. You need to use the word to kill some things in your life. You need to use the word. That's what you're supposed to do. The Bible is the ammunition that we're supposed to use. The word is the ammunition that we use to speak against mountains and against the enemy. You know, you ever think about this? The Bible never said to fight people. It never said one thing about being in combat with people. He says to speak to mountains in Mark 11, 22, and 23. And then in Ephesians 6, 12, above this verse, he says, you don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of the darkness. You're supposed to fight the enemy. And this is the thing. Jesus already did the work, so it's already a done deal. You know, they said the Golden State Warriors, they said the playoffs is just a formality because they said they're going to win the championship. It's kind of like that. It's a formality. It's already done. But you have to put the effort in. I see some heads moving. You know, they have to show up and play. They still have to put up the effort to win the ring. You have to put up the effort to win your battle that Jesus already won for you. You just got to walk through it. You got to walk through it. See, salvation is done for you. Salvation is done for you. That's all the work that Jesus did for you. But your trials, you got to put some effort into it. You got to put some effort into it. You got to speak the word. That's your effort. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen. That's what you're supposed to do. We got to put your effort, and that's how you fight. And you know, the thing is about fighting people, a lot of the times we fight people through unforgiveness. Because we feel, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to do that. Look, whatever you do, and let's put it like this. Whatever someone did to you, right or wrong, you have a choice in how you respond. They cannot make you do this. You know, this is a perfect example. You ever been at a stoplight and the person in front of you, the light turns green and the person is in front of you, they're on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever social media. For whatever reason, they're in the glove compartment, they're eating a donut, I don't know. For whatever reason, they didn't go. And then, you know, not you, of course, but somebody behind you honks their horn. Anyways, somebody honks their horn, and then, they notice the light is green and then go. What happens 9 times out of 10? You get stuck with a red light. And I've seen this happening like far back. The person behind them that should stop at the red light continues to go because they feel they should have gone, and because that person was you know, doing whatever. Now, if a police officer pulls them over for running a red light, can they use the excuse of because the person in front of them didn't go on time? No. You had the decision. He's going to say you had the decision to still stop. You had the decision. Because of what they did, I see what you're saying, but you still had the decision of stopping at that red light. There are going to be things that people do in your life, and it may seem that it forces you to do a decision, but you always have the decision to obey the word. They cannot make you not obey the word. Nobody can make you not obey the word. Nobody can make you not forgive. And sometimes we try to fight people using unforgiveness. Look, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what the word says. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. See, now, we got to learn how to fight. In 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. What do you need to fight? Number one, you need to know who God is. You need to know who God is. You need to know that God is a loving God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, I have it in a different translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should have everlasting life. You need to know that God is a loving God. If God wasn't a loving God, we wouldn't really follow him. He extended his love. That's what brought us in. That's what brought us into the family of God, is that we recognize his love. Number two, you need to know that he's faithful. You need to know that he's faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. You must know that God is faithful. But also, you need to know that God is powerful. You need to know that God is powerful. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, it says, "And this incomparably great power for us who believe that that power in this same..." I'm going to read this one from here. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe, This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in at the place of honor in God's right hand in heavenly places. Now he is far above any ruler and authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Amen. You have to know that. And you have to realize when Jesus died on the cross and he went down to hell and God raised him up, that wasn't anything small. That was powerful. He went down. Jesus went down and kicked the devil's butt and he said, wrote on the wall and said, "I was here." But then God brought him right back up and he said, he seated him right-handed and seated him right next to him in heavenly places. That's the power that lives inside of you. And you have to know that. You have to know that. You have to know that. Which goes to my next point. What do you need to fight? You need to know who you are in Christ. And these things go together. When you understand, when you study who God is, you also study who lives inside of you. When you study who God is, you study who lives inside of you. You know, so it's not just for him. It's not just for informational purposes. This is your identity. See, most people find their identity in their performance and what people think of them. Most people do that. They find their identity, who they are, in how well they do at something and what people think of them. Let me tell you something. Everybody's going to think something negative about, well, let me take that back. There's always going to be someone that thinks something negative about you. That's just fact. You will not be able to please everybody. That is an impossibility. Jesus, and there were people that didn't like Jesus. If there were people that didn't like Jesus, there's going to be somebody that don't like you. Yeah, Pastor Peggy said, I met one. You could probably raise your hand, feet, toes, and everything else. You're going to meet somebody that don't like you. But your identity needs to be in who you are in Christ and not what people think of you. Amen. And this means everyone. I don't matter how close they are to you, the root of who you are needs to be found in what God says about you. See, as you study the power of God, realize that that power lives in you. Romans 8:11, it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give your mortal bodies, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." He gives life to your mortal bodies. He gives life into it. That's the power that lives inside of you. That's the power that lives inside of you. And this is the thing. If you don't know who you are, you won't know what you have available to you. If you don't know who you are, you won't know what you have available to you. You know, I've read stories over the years about homeless people that had access to millions of dollars, but they didn't know. They didn't know. Some died and didn't know. Sometimes we live like that. Sometimes we have all these stuff. Look, as soon as you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have instant access. There's no probationary period. God doesn't say, okay, now you accepted me, you got to wait 6 months. And you got to do a whole bunch of things before you can enjoy the salvation. No. The second you accepted Jesus into your heart, he has said, "You are my son. I have this for you." You just have to go find out what you have available to you. You got to go find out what it is you have to you. And guys, see, this is the thing. Trials, we're talking about the good fight of faith. Trials cannot affect who you are. They cannot. It may feel like that sometimes, but they cannot affect who you are. They cannot affect, really, they can't affect how you act. You have the decision in how you act. We have the decision in how we respond. We have that decision. That's how we is. Just like the story I was telling you about with the yellow light. You have the decision in whether you're going to obey the rules of the road or not. Just because that person was liking your picture on Facebook and missed the light doesn't mean that gives you authority to run the light. It put you in a decision to do it, to do what you're going to do. Also, when you know who you are, you will use the access that you have available to you. My kids, Derek and Anaya, if you know them, they can eat. And they will ask me, what are we going to have for dinner? They're going to ask me, can we go to Chili's? They will ask me whatever else. But they know they're my kids. And they know they have the access to ask me that. They know they have, that's an open door policy. They could come ask me for anything at any time. Not everybody's kids does that, thankfully. But they do that because they're my kids. They do that because they're my kids. But the thing is, you have to know who you are. And how you do that, you have to find out what the word says about you, and you have to speak it. You have to say it. Who you are determines what you have available to you. But who you believe you are determines what you do with what you have available to you. Who you are determines what you have available to you. That's what you are. There's nothing that can change about that. You are a child of God. That's what you do. But who you believe you are, you could be a child of God but not believe you're worthy. And if you don't believe you're worthy, you're not going to go to God in a time of trouble. You're not going to go to God in a time of happiness. You're just going to sit there. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know it. See, you will never do more than you think you're worth. If you don't think you're worth much, you won't do much. You won't do more. You will not rise above what you think you're worth. If you think you're a pitiful human being, that's how you're going to act. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. You have to know your worth. And see, to change, and this is all renewing the mind. You have to speak these things. See, if you're going to fight the fight of faith, we might as well learn from Jesus, right? He's the one that's, you know, he said, you got to fight the fight of faith. Paul wrote it, but he got that from following Jesus' teachings. So let's go to Mark 11, 22 to 23. And he said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that he has those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's go read this again. For Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Or one translation says, have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, what does that word say? Different translation. It says, for assuredly, it says, I say to you, that's one say, that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have what he says. Y'all catching a theme here? Faith is about speaking. It's more about speaking than it is believing. It's more about speaking than it is believing. And that's what we have to remember. Faith isn't faith without your mouth moving. You can't call it faith. You can't call it faith without your mouth moving. You know, Dad Hagen, Brother Hagen, who started the Bible school that a lot of us went to, he says, believing and speaking opens up the door to the supernatural. If you want some things happening in your life, you need to start believing. And a lot of us are already believing. You just need to start speaking. You need to start speaking some things. You need to start doing it. You don't get what you believe, you get what you speak. You get what you say. That's why this verse says, say so many times. You get what you say, not necessarily what you believe. It's what you say. What happened in Genesis 1:1? God said, and it was. 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 And it said it like 8 times. I don't remember how many times. But it said a lot. It said, God said, and then it was. God didn't believe in himself, and then it was. He said, and then it was. Speaking makes all the difference. Speaking the word makes all the difference. Now, this is the thing. And just say, I love Pastor Devon. This is the truth, though. Speaking requires effort. Don't miss out on the things of God because you're being lazy. Speaking requires effort. Speak what the word says about you. That's how you begin to believe it. You know, somebody today asked me, they said, how are you so happy in the morning? And I said, honestly, I make some decisions about my day before my day even starts. You know, I've started this habit, honestly, just in the last couple weeks, but because the last couple weeks, I just haven't been sleeping that well for whatever reason. And I remember one day I got up and I just made the decision. I just remember thinking to myself, I'm going to have a bad day. And you know what happened? I had a bad day. This person was saying something about me. I missed a ticket. It was at work. It was a lot of work stuff. You know, and everything. I was just like, oh my gosh. But the next day, I kind of caught myself because I didn't sleep well again because I had a bad day. Well, no, not because I had a bad day. Well, it played into it. I didn't sleep well again, but the next morning what I did was like, you know what? I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to have a good day today. Sometimes you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say some things. And it may sound weird, but you got to look at your mirror. You got to do it like when you talk to your kids. Come here and look at me. Don't look down, look at me. You got to say, you're going to have a good day today because Christ lives in you, because the hope of glory lives in you, because the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You got to speak these things and you got to talk to yourself. You got to make these decisions about your day before your day starts. You live in a fallen world. If you let what happens turn up determine your day, you are going to have a bad day. If you let the trials determine your day, you're going to have a bad day. But if you let what the word says about you determine your day, oh, glory, there's going to be some things happening in your day. But you got to speak it. And this is some things, and these are things that I've always known, but I've really just started to put it into practice heavily. And there are some things just, you know, it's kind of like microwave popcorn. It starts slow, but then it starts popping. It starts popping. You know, in the first minute, you get mad. Like, you know, nothing is happening in the first minute. Then the second minute, you may get a pop. Then you get the pop. Then you get another pop. And in that last minute, that's when all the popping happens. You know, you may wait in some things in your life, but God could pop a whole bag of popcorn in 1 minute. He could do it. And you know what? I'm excited. And this has changed my life. And you know what? And this may seem small to you, but this is just what I've been doing in my own life and what I've been applying. I went to play pool with Fong the other day, and like I had a napkin. Like some people like to use a napkin or like something to slide through the fingers when they're shooting, and I was using a napkin. I didn't like powder, man. It just gets all on my clothes. You know, I can't get it on my weight jersey, bro. No. they were doing that. So I was using the napkin, and then this lady just came out of nowhere. She said, hey, here. And she gave me one of those gloves that the professionals use. She's like, use that. I was like, You want it back? She's like, no, keep it. Just go ahead. I'm like, praise God. You know, it's small, but that's the first, that's one of the pops that's beginning to happen in my life. Another day, I'm sitting there, I'm laying in bed, and don't judge me, y'all. I wanted some French fries. I just wanted some French fries. No. I just wanted some French fries. So I was just like, you know, I'm sitting there, of course, you know, well, you know, I just worked out, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I was just like, you know what? I could go get a French fry. It's not gonna kill my diet. So, you know, I went and go got some French fries. And I walked in and I saw someone I knew. They're like, hey, how you doing? Good. So I was like, and she knew what I was coming in for, actually. She's like, French fries? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, all right, so we come from French fries. And then I'm just there waiting and waiting and whatever. And then she handed me an entire bag and said, oh, don't even worry about it. I got you. She didn't even just give me a large French fry. She handed me an entire bag of French fries. Look. God is good, you know. You know, and I texted Pastor Peggy. I was like, man, I just walked in and they just gave me a whole bag of French fries for free. And one thing, me and my wife, we started an eating out budget, and we started paying with cash, so I didn't even have to pay for the fries. Amen. I kept more money in my pocket. And honestly, I firmly believe this is simply because the beginning of starting to speak some things in my life. I got a glove for the pool, and I got some free French fries, but this is just the beginning. That's just the pop that just started to happen. There's going to be some things that continue to happen as long as I continue to speak the word. And I'm going to continue to speak the word, so there's going to be more things happening. In your life, if you want things to change, you got to continue speaking the word. Amen. You may start off, and you know what? Sometimes there are small things that happen, and you don't think it's, because it's not anything big, you don't think it's God. And you're not looking at it. You need to learn to be thankful. Be thankful. I was thankful for my free bag of French fries. Not only was it free, it was more than enough. I mean, I ate there sitting and watching the basketball game. I was determined to eat that whole bag because it was free. I had the salt, the pepper, everything. And it was in the bag. I looked in and I was like, man, this is, I enjoyed that basketball game. Look, you got to start speaking some things in your life if you want it to change. Speak to the mountains in your life. Do not let how you feel determine what you say. Do not let how you feel determine what you say. You got to get up and say some things. You know, Pastor Peggy says, never make decisions about your day laying down. You know, the reason I can get up here, you know, last night was an awesome day. You know, Josh and Jessica got married, and, you know, we had the wedding rehearsal, and, you know, it was awesome. But it was kind of tiring, especially because I danced pretty much the whole night. You know, I was, like, literally sore, you know, when I lay down in bed, you know, but I got up and I was tired, but you know what? I did the same thing. I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, look, yeah, this is going to be a great day. You're going to be preaching later. You're going to have a great day. You're going to have a great message. You're going to deliver the word. The power of God is going to be available because the power of God is on you. And I told these things about myself. I did not feel like it initially, but by the time I was done, I was two-stepping in the shower. You know, yesterday, I was listening to some shouting music in the shower, and my kids came up, they're like, Daddy, we heard you all the way in the living room. It sounded like you were listening to Mexican music. And I was shouting, baby. I was having a good time, you know, but that's what I was doing. You make decisions about your day is going to be a whole lot better. This is how you fight the good fight of faith. You know, speak to the mountains in your life. You know, David and Goliath. This is a great, it's just a great event in history. I'm training myself not to say story, because imply that it wasn't real or fiction. This is a great event in history. See, David knew who he was. And he, if you read before it, he had just got anointed with God. He was just called by God. And then he went back out to herding the sheep. You know, sometimes God will call you to do something, but you're still doing what you're you doing what you're doing. It doesn't happen automatically. You got to go through a process sometimes. But anyways, he was herding the sheep, and then his dad called him. He's like, hey, you need to take some food out to the people for the war. And he's like, okay. You know, depending on who you talk about, depending on who you talk to, if it was VeggieTales, they took some cheese pizzas up there. If you talk to Mark Hankins, it was cheese sandwiches. Mark Hankins, it was cheese sandwiches. But, you know, he took some food up there. But he heard Goliath talking to them. Sometimes you're going to hear your mountain just wait. You wake up and your mountain's going to be talking to you. Nyang, 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 nyang. It's going to be nyang. Nyang. You guys know what I mean. It's just like you wake up and it's like everything is there. But David heard him talking. But what did David do? David talked back to him. He said, who is this dude? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Look, uncircumcised Philistine back in the day was like the equivalent of saying something about your mama today. It was like the worst insult. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking to the armies of God? And Goliath is there talking. Your mountain's going to talk to you, but don't let your mountain have the last word. You make sure to talk back to that thing. Because David, he said, Goliath said something, then David said something, then Goliath said something, then David said something, then Goliath said something, then David grabbed the rock, ran at him while he was talking, threw it, it hit him in his head, and Goliath didn't say anything else. Amen. That was the end of that. You need to, number one, know who God is. You need to know who you are, and then you got to speak to your mountain. You got to speak to your mountain. Don't, you know what? And this is something too. Sometimes we quit after the first punch. How crazy would it be to watch a boxing match and Manny Pacquiao quits in the first round after he gets hit once? Like, he just, imagine it. You're watching it. You pay your $80 for the pay-per-view or whatever. And, you know, you're watching it and you're waiting for this fight. And then he hits once and then he walks off. He says, I quit. He hit me too hard. Yeah, I want my money back too. You know, but how silly would that sound? He quits after one punch. But a lot of us, sometimes we do that. We start out obeying God on Sunday, but then we get hit with a punch or our mom starts talking to us on Monday, and then we say, oh, this is it, when we quit. No, do not quit after the first punch. You talk back to the mountain. You talk back and you speak the word of God to that mountain. That's what you have to do. You know, and I always like to say this too. You need to hear your pastor's voice, but your mountain needs to hear your voice. You need to hear us tell you these things, but we can't speak to your mountain for you. You got to do it. This is the effort that we're talking about. This is the effort that we're talking about. And sometimes we go, and then we quit in the clutch. If you're a sports fan, you know what clutch time is. When it really matters, it's the time that makes the difference in the game. Don't quit in the clutch. Continue doing what you do. You know, they call athletes the one that choke, that they do something, they don't perform as well in the times of the clutch, in clutch time. They don't perform well. Why don't they perform well? Why don't they perform well? They start doing things differently than what they normally do. Speak the word. That's what got you saved. That's how you got saved. You spoke the word. Continue speaking the word and continue speaking to your mountain and continue to speak to it. And you just go. And you know what? The thing is, we don't need to, Romans 10, 6 through 10, it talks about you don't need to pray to bring God down. God doesn't need to come back down from heaven to do anything special. He already sent the Holy Spirit to get to us. He does not need to come back down. You know, Romans 10, it talks about you don't need to bring God down. The answer is closer than you think. It's right under your nose. And I'm not talking about the mustache, and I'm not talking about Mike's beard. I'm not talking about that. The answer is in your mouth. The answer is in your mouth. That's where your answer is. That's where your answer is. You speak to those things and watch them come up. That's where your answer is. Speaking makes all the difference. And number four, Expect God to move. Expect God to move. There are four types of expectation. You can have a negative expectation. I have a coworker that, man, he just thinks if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to him. He just thinks he has it the worst ever. And sometimes he's complaining, and, you know, I think the Lord uses him to work on my love walk. Because he's just, and sometimes I take the time and I listen to him, but then, man, there's sometimes I just put in my other earbud and I'm like, all right, bro, I gotta do something. Yeah, okay, cool, all right. And I just, because he's just negative. Everything is just negative. But the thing, part of the reason that negative things happen to him is because he says negative things happen to him. This is not a Christian principle. This is a life. This is how God designed the earth to function. You will have what you say. You have the second type of expectation is a neutral expectation. You know, that's the person that may hear this word and be like, okay, they're not going to say anything bad, but then they're not going to say anything good. They're just going to do with whatever turns up. Mark Hankins calls it a turn-up philosophy. You know, you just, whatever turns up, it just, whatever does. But you know what? You live in a fallen world. Whatever, if you don't decide, whatever turns up is going to be negative and it's going to be a storm. But you got, it's going by what you expect. Number three is misguided expectations. This is Naaman. If you read in the Old Testament, Naaman was leprosy, but he was like a rich guy, and he was going to go see Elisha. He's like, you know what? I have leprosy, but Elisha can pray for me and heal me. So he went, and he got his servant, got it with him. They went to go see Elisha. Elisha knocked on the door. You know, and then his Elisha's servant came to him, knocked at the door. He said, hey, I need Elisha to come pray for me. And if you read it out, he was expecting Elisha to come wave his hand over him and him to be healed. But what happened is that the guy came back to the door and said, no, he's not going to wave your hand on you. He just says, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and then you'll be healed. And Naaman got all offended. He's like, don't you know who I am? I'm a very important person. I am rich. I am doing this. And he's like, no, go dip in the river. Bye. And, you know, and then what was happening is because Naaman was so offended, he was going to go back home with his leprosy. Do not let offense, being offended, cause you to keep your leprosy. Do not let being offended cause you to leave that mountain right there. And what his servant said to him, he's like, he just told you to go dip in the River Jordan. He didn't tell you to do anything crazy. If he told you to do something crazy, you would have done it. But he just told you to go dip in the River Jordan. Now, if you look at, study it out, the River Jordan was very muddy, but he just told you to go dip in it. And then after a while, he talked to him, and he dipped 7 times. So he dipped one dip. In Sunday school, growing up, we had this one song that we used to sing, and he dipped one dip. And he dippy, dippy, dip, and he dip one time. Anyways, sorry. Chronicles of a PK. Anyways, you know, and he dipped in the first time, nothing happened. Second time, nothing happened. Third time, nothing happened. Fourth time, nothing happened. But by the time the 7th time came, he was cleansed of the leprosy, and he didn't even have to pay for it. But the thing is, he almost let misguided expectations keep him where he was. Don't do that. You follow, don't try and figure out how God is going to do something. Just trust him and let him do it. And when he tells you to do something, do it. Don't do it. Don't not do it just because this isn't the way you were going to, that's not the way you expected it was going to happen. God's brain is a little bigger than ours. Of course, sarcasm. Infinitely bigger than ours. We need to trust him. But the fourth type of expectation is positive expectation. That's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus was talking about in Mark 11, 22 through 23. The woman with the issue of blood, you think about her. It said when she heard of Jesus, the first thing she did was say. She said, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I will be completely healed. She touched that. If your faith won't move your mouth, it won't move your mountain. Is as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You know, the centurion servant, we're going to wrap up here. The centurion servant, he said, speak, you know, they were going somewhere, and the centurion, excuse me, and he came up and he just said, my daughter is sick. Jesus, my daughter is sick. And then Jesus has said, oh, we'll come by the house and we pray for her. And he said, no, you don't need to come by the house. Just speak the word only and it'll happen. And then Jesus said, whoa. You know, the Bible said Jesus was astonished or whatever. And so Jesus was just like, I have never heard such great faith. The centurion said, oh, I understand how this thing works. I'm a man with authority. When I tell people to come, they come. When I tell people to go, they go. And he understood the fact that all Jesus had to do was say the word and it will happen. He had just as much faith in God's word as the manifestation. He had just as much faith in God's and Jesus' word as the manifestation. Sometimes we wait to believe. Faith doesn't work by waiting till you see something to believe. You need to believe it before you see it. And he had faith in Jesus' words. So he just said, thy daughter be healed. He spoke the words, and that very same hour she was healed. Guys, we need to understand that's who we are. That's our DNA. That's our identity. This is the way we live. Anyways, this is the way we live. Sorry, a song came up to my head. This is the way we live. This is the way we're supposed to live. We speak those things that come. That's what we need to do. You need to get up in the mornings and you need to say some things to yourself. You need to speak the word. You need to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ because my past is gone away. Behold, I'm a new creation. I am deeply loved. I am completely forgiven. I am fully pleasing to God. I am totally acceptable to God and I am perfectly complete in Christ. You need to say some things to yourself. And then after you say some things to yourself, you need to speak to the mountain. You need to speak to those things that's happening in your life. And you need to speak to it. That's how this works. There is no other way. This is how it works. You don't need to be a better Christian. Listen to me. You do not need to be a better Christian. God has already made you perfect in him. God has already made you perfect in him. You do not need to be a better Christian. Your identity is in Christ. It is not in your mistakes. It is not in your past. It is in Christ. It is in the work that he did for you. When you really believe that, you will see some things change in your life because you'll start to speak the word that he's qualified you to speak. He qualifies you. This is not about being arrogant. Sometimes people feel confident people are arrogant. No, it's not that they're arrogant. They're just confident. It's just been a while since you've been around confident people. Christ did the work in me. It's because of Christ. The reason I started speaking myself in the mirror is because Christ made me. He gave me the power on the inside to be an overcomer. Let's get up. Let's speak some things right now. Come on, let's get up. Let's go. We're going to do this right now. Say, Father God. Oh, actually, you know, this isn't the prayer. This is a declaration. Say, I am who God said I am. I am a new creation of great worth. I am deeply loved. Completely forgiven. Totally acceptable to God. Fully pleasing. And complete in Christ. Mountain of lack. You must go. In the name of Jesus. Mountain of sickness. Must go. In the name of Jesus. All because of what Christ did for me. So we give you praise. We give you glory. And honor. right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now give God some glory. Hallelujah. Raise your hands, 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 raise your hands. Raise your hands and give him glory. Raise your hands and give him honor. Raise your hands. God doesn't need a hand clap. He needs your praise. He needs your glory. Hallelujah. Hey, look, we just did this in 2 minutes. You did this in 2 minutes. Imagine what happens when you take 5 minutes, when you take 10 minutes, when you take 15 minutes. To just get in the promises of God and just shout. Imagine, look at what happened. Take the time to declare what Christ is in you. Take the time to do it. Whew. We got a second service to do. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Father God, we just thank you for the word today. If anybody is in here and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand right now. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. You never want to end a service without checking on that. But we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord, we just thank you for this word that was spoken today. We thank you that you will remind us of the truth. You'll remind us of what your word says about us. You'll remind us. You'll remind us that we need to go study and find it out for ourselves to see what the word says about us. Holy Spirit, you are the revealer of truth, but you're the one that brings the truth back to us. You bring the promises back to us. So Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You okay? Woo! Y'all got something today? Yes. Hey, look, this is how we live. This is the way we're supposed to live. Let's just live it. Let's just live it. Amen. Let's go ahead. Wait, sorry. No, we need to receive the supernatural tithe and offering. Amen.